KQED 90.3 FM。
CKUT Radio Radio Sound waves in the air.
CKUT
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
To you, if you want me to, I'll do anything.
Oh, she's the right one for me. He made no mistake.
apology. Gramps, won't you sing about your lady?
She's still loving me. If you give a little more than you take, and if you try to fix more than you break, if you're the kind who takes the time to help a stranger in the rain, there's a place for people like you. If you stand up for those down on their knees and lend a voice to those who cannot speak, if you shine a little light, give sight to the ones who've lost their way, there's a place for people like you. I've heard up there the streets are made of gold, and when you get there, there's a hand to hold. I believe when your days down here are through, there's a place up there for people like you. If you walk around with your heart on your sleeve, and if you're trying to be the change you wanna see, if you lay down your life for love so someone could be saved, there's a place for people like you. I've heard up there the street are made of gold, and when you get there, there's a hand to hold. I believe when your days down here are through, there's a place up there for people like you.
were made of gold. And when you get there, there's a hand to hold. I believe when your days down here are through, you, there's a place up there for people like you. Keep doing what you do, 'cause there's a place up there for people like you.
A pleasant good afternoon to you, Montreal, and the world at large. That song done up by Gramps Morgan was for his dad, Mr. Denroy Morgan, who passed away on the 3rd of March. Leaving 30 children, 104 grandchildren and 15 great-grandchildren. Handsome man. Had the pleasure of meeting him once or twice. Ah, he has left us. That first song we opened it, I'll Do Anything For You, still a massive hit in the clubs. So, Mr. Denroy Morgan, rest in peace, my brother. You did it, and you did it well. I remember going to his house some years ago when we had the record store. And we had to go past the house into the backyard area, and there was a lot of kids. And the guy who took us there, he told us that's all his kids, and they were all around him. So, Morgan Heritage, LMS, too. He had two bands coming out of that family. And they have done wonders. Four. Not much to say. This was a low-key guy, even though he had this massive hit. Lived his life the way he found fit. It's been a rough week in the sense mentally for me. My good friend, my little kitty cat, he's on his way out. Gives me pain to say that. He's my good friend, 15 years now. Some people will laugh and say, Stretch has an animal in his house. No, that's my good friend. I worship you. The song that you're listening to is being played on the saxophone by a young lady. If you can find her, you can pick it up anywhere on Facebook. I think I got it. Her name is Ariana Stanberry. And she's good. She's good. Want to remind you, business is business. It's the first time. It's the first. It's that time of the year. We're excited to announce CKUT's 2022's funding drive, taking place from Thursday, this March 17th, to Sunday, March 27th. The theme of this year's drive is Till Infinity, and our goal is only $35,000. We'll be talking more about that, and I hope you will support the station. I know a lot of people may not be working. But I what can I say? 15 minutes past the hour. I worship you. I'm telling you, got myself a new dock, missing the old one. But I say old, I don't mean an age. He's just want to go on retirement. We'll miss the guy. Very pleasant. Had 15, 17 years, I think, 16, 12, whatever. He would know, I wouldn't know. But quite a few years, never heated moment. So I just want to thank my daughter for allowing me to go see her friend who is a doctor. Very pleasant person. My. If she's my daughter's friend, she's going to be pleasant because my daughter is a very pleasant young lady too. As a matter of fact, at 4:30, I'm going to be talking to her because, you see, I'm in a corner here now, and whenever I get into that corner, you know, I don't want nobody. I know where to go. You know, when I get there, I'll talk with her because I'm tired of people harassing me. No, they're not. But, you know, I'll be speaking to her at 4:30 about something that would be of interest to people. And so I want you to stick around for that. It's now 17 minutes past the hour of 4. And I want to say many thanks to Jono and his crew last week, Sunday. I did a beautiful, beautiful interview. I don't know if I was that good, but the settings was totally unbelievable. And the young man that interviewed me, I'm looking for good things for if he continues doing this thing. He should be making do well on radio here in Montreal. Learn the French, my brother, and you will be doing well. So they had me on. I wish I had the proper address and all that, but I'll see if I can find it, and I'll get it for you before the night is over. And at 6 o'clock, we have Miss Cohen. That's Tommy Cohen. Daughter on. I'm not telling you who her mother is. We had her on before. And I'm just gonna sit back on this one and just relax. Because them is young people. All right, so she'll be on at 6 o'clock on the Zoom. So if you wanna see don't say the name, let them guess. I'll say Tommy Cohen daughter looks like, then you can know who she is. So, Montreal, what's new? I'm going to call her name. Glad to hear, Sister P, you're getting better and you're ready. All right, so Sister P is up and doing good. And let me play a little scare gospel as we get up to the 4:30 hour. All right.
This one is going out to all my brothers and sisters in Christ. Come on, everybody.
Yes.
Let's praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. On CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial, West Indian Rhythms. Yes, sir.
I'm standing on the solid rock. Satan, you can't prevail. Satan, you can't prevail. I'm standing on the solid rock. Standing on the solid
Sweet.
Rock. Satan, you can prevail. Satan, you can prevail. Take a grip. Take another grip, my brothers. Hold fast and never let go. No matter what the people of the world may say, hold fast and never let go. Take a grip. Take another grip, my brothers. Hold fast and never let go.
I want a revival in my soul. I don't know why this thing just cut off on me like that. I was too busy dancing and enjoying it. I hope you did too. All right, it's now 22 minutes past the hour, and I think we need to play some commercials. And, you know, that's what makes the horse go, what a lousy horse that was. So remember, you're locked into CKUT 90.3 FM, and after the commercials, I hope to speak with my daughter a little bit, all right? So keep it locked.
Being vaccinated against COVID-19 doesn't protect you from this. Or this.
Mom, what's for dinner?
Not this. This.
And it's looking like rain, and more rain for this weekend.
This. Or even this.
Your call is important to us. Please hold.
But being vaccinated does protect you from the virus. Vaccination is still your best form of protection. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
This piano piece may well sound ordinary to you, until you realize that it was taught to young Chloe just last week by Janet, who's still teaching at 81. Seniors bring so much to Quebec. Let's recognize their contribution. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Yes, sir. You already know what it is.
What it is.
This is Jason Alexander on behalf of THD Entertainment, letting y'all know we're on CKUT 90.3 all month with the Montreal Sessions, myself, DJ Rossi Ross, and of course, Colin Hassel on the drums.
Yes, sir, Montreal. That's Whose Vibe Is It Anyway? Mark your calendars, 3 to 5 p.m. every Tuesday through the month of March. Hit us up on IG at THD Entertainment. Drop us a line. Let us know what you want to hear. What's popping in your neighborhood? We got to know.
Yes, sir. You already know what it is.
What it is.
This is Jason Alexander on behalf of THD Entertainment, letting y'all know we're on CKUT 90.3 all month with the Montreal Sessions, myself, DJ Rossi Ross, and of course, Colin Hassel on the drums.
Yes, sir, Montreal. That's Whose Vibe Is It Anyway? Mark your calendars, 3 to 5 p.m. every Tuesday through the month of March. Hit us up on IG at THD Entertainment. Drop us a line. Let us know what you want to hear. What's popping in your neighborhood? We got to know.
In the case of symptoms similar to those of COVID-19, such as fever, cough, sore throat, loss of taste, or smell, you should take a rapid home screening test. If you test positive, isolate yourself at home and please follow the self-isolation instructions. If you don't have a rapid home screening test, please self-isolate for the recommended period. Visit quebec.ca/self-isolating for complete instructions on how to protect yourself and others. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Boy, my listeners don't miss a thing. All right, I will play something from the young lady. I have 5 minutes before I speak to my daughter. And the young lady I was telling you about that plays a saxophone. She also plays bass. She was playing the bass on that first gospel song that I played. And I got so wrapped up in it, I didn't know it was finishing. Anyway, I'm just going to play another one that she does a little saxophone on. She does a lead on this one. So here goes. Beautiful saxophone player. From Jamaica, from the island of Jamaica, I must rub that in. From Jamaica, did I say that? From Jamaica. Her name is Ariana Stanberry. Enjoy the talent of Jamaica.
Mm.
Don't cry out loud. Her name is Arianna Stanberry, and she's from the beautiful island of Jamaica. Did I say that? Yeah, she's from the beautiful island of Jamaica. And Jamaica in the Caribbean, that has Usain Bolt and Howard Carr. What can I tell you about Jamaica? It's beautiful. I'm waiting for my daughter to give me a call. No, she's calling me on the wrong phone. Tara called me on my phone. No, wrong phone. So once again, a pleasant good afternoon to you. 947-2558, Miss Tara. Let me get into this chat with you. No, I think, what? My phone is giving problems or what? Just let me get this going one more time so I can, there we go. Hello, Tara, you there?
Yes, hello. Hi, Dad.
Listen, I don't talk on certain phones in this house, so you just should know what phone.
Montreal, for those of you who wanted to know. My father told me to call the other phone.
Never. Anyhow, folks, let me just get into it. What's been happening, you know, the Black History Month has flown by so fast. Frankly, because so many world events, one of them I don't want to mention because I'm going to cry here, have overshadowed so much. As such, I have been asked by a lot of people, why we have failed to cover different aspects of Black history, including the history of the Black porters, some of whom were from the Caribbean. So when it comes to topics in the news or in history, I turn to my own trusted source, owner of a BA from McGill University and an MA from Concordia in History and Political Science. My daughter, Tara Carr. No, you're allowed to talk. No, tell me a little bit about the historic facts of the Black porters. Because I happen to have met some years ago when I first started at CN. Tell me a little bit about them, because I'm going to ask you other things, too.
Okay. Well, first of all, good evening, Montreal. Hope everybody is doing well in this mildish type of weather. Go outside, enjoy it while you can. So I think we have to go back a little bit when it comes to the idea of Black history in Canada. I think for a lot of people, including myself when I was younger, Black history in Canada started in the 1960s and 70s when the first wave of Caribbean immigrants. I was guilty of always thinking this when I was younger because, like most first-generation kids of the 1980s, I was surrounded by other first-generation kids who thought that we were the first Canadians of different ethnicities to come to Canada. This is not true. Black history, is Canadian history and has been for almost since the beginning of this country. From Matthew DaCosta being the first free Black in Canada in the 16th century, who played an integral role in interpreting between the Europeans and the indigenous population, to Mary Angelique, who burned down Montreal's old port in 1784. Some historians have said it was in protest because she was an enslaved woman. And yes, there were slaves in Canada. To Black residents of Hogan's Alley in Vancouver, Black people have been part of Canadian history since minimum 15-something. And a special part of this history, one that I feel attached to, were the Black men employed as sleeping car porters from the late 19th century until the mid-1950s or so. You see, back in the late 1800s, the best way to travel through Canada and through some parts of North America was by the train. Mm-hmm. And completed in around 1885-ish, the Canadian Pacific Railway had stops in Montreal, New York, Chicago, Winnipeg, Calgary, Toronto, before ending in Vancouver. So it stretched the length of this huge, beautiful country. And if you've ever traveled by train, you know that it could be a lovely route, but it could be a long route. So to help these passengers be more comfortable on their way, the railway employed what we refer to as porters. These are the people who would check your bag in, carry your luggage. If you were sleeping on the train, they would turn down your bed, serve your food, shave you, shine your shoes. In essence, they were what's supposed to have been high-class servants while you traveled on the train. This work was considered unskilled, which is a term I dislike using, but whatever. But it was very much needed. So what the railways did is that they agreed to pay and hire people that they can treat badly, which of course at this time were Black men. These Black men came from around Canada. They came from around the world. You had West Indians. You had Black people who were descendants of the freed slaves of the Black loyalists. You had Blacks from the United States, and you even had some Blacks as far away as Wales over in the UK. These were often very highly educated men who came to Canada in hopes of securing a better future for themselves in a country often billed as a kinder, gentler place. You know, if there's one thing Canada's right, we have great PR. People around the world think that Canada doesn't have the problematic past, let's say, or future, if you want to argue, of racism and such. We just tend to keep it quieter. But Canada's still very much a racist country in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So what these Black porters discovered is that, yes, they can get the work, but they were still subject to the horrific insidiousness of racism. The first of these porters, many of whom used to work 72 hours straight, had no place to rest or sleep. They couldn't eat breakfast, lunch, or dinner anywhere near the passengers. They had to tolerate, as you can imagine, enormous amounts of racial slurs. They could be fired at any given moment. They were basically babysitting adults who sneered at them continuously. Mm. The problem is, the promised wages were incredibly low. Excuse me. In fact, these porters had to cater to people who they had to be nice to despite their treatment, because they had to supplement their very poor wages with tips from these same people. Mm-hmm. For example, a lot of the porters, their uniforms they had to pay for, their shoe shining kits, their barber kits they had to pay for. Worse yet, if missed towels, bed sheets, or pillowcases were not around, that money was taken out of their wages.
Wow.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is that the importance of these porters cannot be underestimated. While doing what some may consider a menial task with very little reward, low wages, discrimination, being away from their families for long periods of time, these same men and their families actually created pockets of Black neighborhoods and were the stepping stone for a rising Black middle class in Canada. More importantly, these men actually formed their own successful union. The railroad unions at the time excluded Blacks. Of course they did, hypocritically, you could argue, because these unions were always fighting for rights and freedoms, but weren't fighting for the rights and freedoms of their Black counterparts. By 1917, the Order of Sleeping Car Porters was the first Black labor union in North America. By 1919, they had negotiated contracts that improved their wages and actually included job protections for all porters, black or white. And this particular black union never stopped fighting to increase rights of their employees. In fact, in 1945, black porters finally were able to negotiate for monthly wage increases, a reserved berth or bed in each car for them, 2 weeks paid vacation after a year of service, overtime pay, and just general better working conditions. They never stopped fighting. They actually used the same tactics that white unions use in order to advance the cause of black employees who want to move on from being porters. Excuse me. They actually filed official complaints with the Federal Department of Labor under the Fair Employment Practices Act to make sure that they could have opportunities to get jobs elsewhere in the railway. And in fact, in 1953, George Garraway was hired as a conductor and was the first black man to have that position in Canada.
Mm.
And the reason why I'm so passionate about this is because it's twofold. One, well, you know, your daughter loves history, so I love that stuff.
Right.
Two, I think it's so important that history is not understood of black history in particular is not just understood as slaves, Martin Luther King, and civil rights. It's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in Canada, we have our own history in Canada that is often overlooked because we're overshadowed by a much larger country down south. And I think thirdly, why this particular part of history I am so attached to is because I'm very proud to say my father worked for the Canadian National Railway as a diesel mechanic for almost 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the hard work that he did at CN provided me with a wonderful lifestyle. And it's because of men like these porters, my father was able to get such a great job.
Yep. Yep.
And another thing that has excited me is that the CBC has adopted the porter story for television. It's actually called The Porter. For those of you who still watch television, you can catch it every Monday at 9, or you can be like me and you could stream it on any service. There's The Gem, there's YouTube, etc. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great. I think it's great to see black faces in a role that is often not shown, even though it was a very integral part of our history.
Wow.
So that's my opinion on the porters, in case you wanted to know.
Right. And it was well taken. I learned something the other. Why you don't teach your father these things instead of having him asking you these questions on radio?
Because you're stubborn. Montreal, if you know Stretch, my father is a stubborn man.
Oh, Lord, I'm not.
Okay. But, you know, you wonder where I get it from? From Howard Stretch Carr.
One of the reasons is that there's several stretches out there who have just learned something today. But, you know, something is bothering me again. And, you know, when it's bothering me, we're going to change the subject a little bit. And you have 10 minutes to off. You have to answer, if okay. So much. You if know, I like the prime minister we have of this country. I do. I am not going to tell you otherwise, as you all may know, because he's trying his best, you know, and what I cannot take is when they refer to him as he's a communist.
Who, Justin Trudeau?
Yeah, I heard this guy. He has communism affiliation or some garbage like that. I couldn't listen to it. I turned it off on Big Talk Radio. What is your opinion on what is happening with my premier?
That is laughable. To me, that is, you know, when people ask me why I think history is so important, it's because if you're going to criticize someone, you could criticize them properly without using terms that you don't understand.
Exactly.
The idea that a corporate liberal like Justin Trudeau, one who needs corporate money, is a communist is incredibly laughable to me. It genuinely is. People who use that term don't understand it. These are the same people who often use the term, call him a fascist and a communist at the same time,
mm-hmm.
which is even funnier because if you're a real communist, you cannot be a fascist. Those are two political ideologies that never touch. They're parallel to each other, but they're on either side of the political spectrum, if you will. him being a communist, it's just, it's, it, I'm laughing, to be honest with you. No, he's not a communist.
I know he's not.
plain and simple, he's not a communist. You know, a base definition of communism would be that it is a social and economic system that advocates that you have to have a class warfare. So you have to have all the classes fighting against each other in the hopes that it leads to a society in which all the property is owned by the government and it's the government who decides what you do. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if you want to be a doctor. It doesn't want to matter if you want to be a garbage man. The government decides what you do. We don't live in that country or that policy, to be honest with you. Communism sounds great on paper. You know, it's great that you don't have to make decisions for yourself.
Right.
But the reason why it hasn't succeeded anywhere in the world, the real form of communism has not succeeded anywhere in the world, is because of human nature. Basic human nature won't allow me to be that controlled by a government. And before people say, oh, the government controls us, yes, to a certain extent, if you agree to live in society, if you agree to take part of society, if you agree to be paid by a company, if you agree to pay taxes, you are controlled, if you, for lack of a better word. But you still have the freedom not to work a certain job, not to go to a certain place, not to marry, not to do this, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I think when people use these terms against someone like Justin Trudeau, which is, again, is incredibly laughable, is because they're trying to say he's some sort of dictator. And
yep,
the idea
that's exactly
that
it.
Justin Trudeau is a dictator is even funnier than the idea that he's a communist.
Well, I'm
Justin Trudeau, contrary to what some people say, was a democratically elected politician.
Mm-hmm.
He ran for office. He was elected. And before people come at me and say, oh, well, he wasn't, he lost the popular vote, which is true. The conservatives did win the popular vote because the only reason they did so is because on the left-hand side of Canadian politics, we have our parties are divided. We have the Bloc Québécois, we have the NDP, and we have the Liberals. When you tally the Bloc Québécois, NDP, and the Liberals, if they were acted as one party, they would have beaten the Conservatives easily because Canada is a slightly is a center-left country, if you want to use a proper term.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you could say the Conservative Party won the popular vote, but they only won it because there's technically only one choice on the Conservative side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I personally, I have my own issues with Trudeau stemming from my big contention of Trudeau is that I really don't care if you want to say he thief money. I expect that from a liberal government, to be honest with you. I'm a child of the 80s. I grew up with a conservative Brian Mulroney and a liberal Jean Chrétien. So I don't really expect much from my government when it comes to financial, properly dealing in finances. Let's put it that way. But my issue of Trudeau is primarily the fact that he made promises to our Indigenous population that he has not kept.
Okay.
Okay, we are living in Canada, a country with abundant natural resources. And in 2022, no Indigenous person in this country should be without clean water. And the fact that we still are,
mm-hmm,
is a reason that I personally would hold Trudeau accountable for, because he made promises that these people would get clean water and better living conditions, and he has so far not come through.
But what is causing that? Is it being lackadaisical or what?
I think, that's a good question. I think Indigenous people have been promised a lot of things because it looks good when you're campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes time to run a country, they are placed bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Especially, you can argue, some might argue, and some have argued that, oh, well, you know, the pandemic took over everything, which is true. I'm not going to dismiss how incredible this pandemic was on almost every aspect of life, from politics down to healthcare, down to going to the store, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's just a lack of disinterest. I think there's no one really fighting for these people. And the problem is when they do fight, they don't have the luxury of being able to hang out in Ottawa for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we all know, and I think I could safely say, had that been a truckload of Indigenous people, they would not have been able to hang out in Ottawa for 3 weeks.
So true. So true.
You know,
I guess your 10 minutes is up. You have one more minute. It's at times it becomes stressful just to listen to talk radio here in our beautiful city, and I stay away from it now. And with the news, there's one thing that I'm not going to touch on this evening because everybody, it's what's happening in Europe, and my heart is crying. But as a parent, can I ask you a quick question? How do you feel about what's happening with these, the Russian thing? I don't want to bring it up too much, but how do you feel seeing what? A quick answer, you know.
A quick answer. I think. A quick answer on a big topic like this.
I know I'm putting you in a spot.
I've never shied away of talking to my kids about the news because my parents weren't like that. I grew up very addicted to news. Mommy used to be braiding my hair while we watched 60 Minutes together as a family every Sunday. So I don't shy away from telling my kids what's happening in the world. I think they should know. Of course, any war is horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's scary about this one is that it has echoes of World War II. You know, always remember Hitler invaded Poland because the Germans allegedly needed Lebensraum. You know, so I hate to compare anything to Hitler. I think he's his own demon.
Yep.
And I shy away from that when people bring up, oh, you're acting like Hitler, or they're like, stop. I stop listening when you do those kind of comparisons. But Putin invading a sovereign nation is not right, plain and simple.
Yeah.
You know, he can argue that there's parts of that nation, because Ukraine is a huge country, that want to be part of Russia. Let those parts then make that decision.
Right.
So it's worrisome because, of course, you're dealing with a nuclear power, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's worrisome because nobody wants war. People just want to live. You know, we have enough issues in the world that war should not be there.
Shouldn't be there.
Sad to say, I mean, look what just happened in Pakistan now. Apparently, a suicide bomber walked into a mosque and blew himself up.
Yeah, I saw. My God.
50 people are jerks. People are monsters. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you. But as a parent, all you can offer your child in times like this is the same advice, you know, same thing I stood by at the height of the pandemic. For those of you who don't know, I work at the MUHC. So I experienced the pandemic firsthand.
Right.
For those of you, it's the same thing I did with the kids. I kept calm, so my kids were calm. But I expressed to them my worry, and I also expressed to them that I always have hope for the future.
All right.
You can't be mired in despair, basically.
Well, Tara Carr Smith, I put you in a corner and you came out as usual. Folks, I have to tell you, in the early years, along with our friend Debbie, they used to be my sports reporter, which was a riot when they did the World Cup. What year was that? I can't remember. But
it had to have been at the height of Beckhamania. So we're talking like 2002-ish, 2000? Yeah.
They were brilliant. People would write and ask, where did you get these two from? They're this and they're that. So I want to thank you, my daughter, Mrs. Tara Carr Smith. And your three boys. Thank you for my two beautiful grandsons and Mr. Alistair and Mr. Kingsley. And, of course, Dr. Smith, I really appreciate you all. And don't worry, coming up when this thing is, we hope, gets over with, you will be back to chit chat with us some more. Yes. So thank you, my dear. Be good.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice talking to you as always, Daddy.
Yes,
Montreal, stay safe, stay happy, and keep striving forward. Don't stop.
All right. Bye-bye. Have all a beautiful bye. Rest of the evening. All right?
You too, Dad.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
That's my daughter. Very proud of that young lady. Along with the rest of her family. Beautiful boys. I call them three beautiful boys, the father and two grandsons. Show me the way. You're listening to a voice that still stands out in life. This is a personal friend of mine. We both worked together in the same band at times in Jamaica. And I'm trying to get him out to sing some more, but even Glenn Washington, we call him on the phone, but he doesn't pay us any mind. He says he's retired, he's burnt out. So I'm going to take it back from the top. And could we take up a petition to send him, to phone him, to do this, everything? No, we wouldn't do that. But I'm going to turn back the pages of time and introduce you to my friend, Mr. George Fennell. Sweet Jesus, we need your help. What's happening here? 5 minutes to five. CFR, FFR, WFFR, Washington, D.C.
Show me the way.
Show me the way.
Oh God, tell me what to say. Look around the world, I see children crying. Look around the world, single mothers dying. What can I do to make a difference?
just tell me what to say. Oh God, show me the way. Sweet Jesus, tell me what to say. Oh God, show me the way. Sweet Jesus, tell me what to say.
Oh God, show me the way. Sweet Jesus, tell me what to say. His name is George Fennell from a band called Names and Faces. For those of you who remember that band being here in beautiful Montreal, while we were together in Maypen, Clarendon. By the way, Denroy Morgan was also from Clarendon. You name it, we have had great singers from Clarendon. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's water or what, but great singers from Clarendon. And George is one of them that could sing. You know, the voice is there. It never changed, you know. Can you imagine George Fennell, Vern Maytones, and Glenn Washington all in the same school together in Maypen? Imagine that. I hear there used to be music and Sidney Brown, my friend, a fellow drummer, original drummer in my band. He lives in Toronto now. All four or five of them, six of them, were in the same school together. I heard it was music on the desktop all through the lunch hour. So now it's 5 p.m. You know what that means? But remember, coming up at 6 p.m. will be Naomi Cowan. Her father's name is Tommy Cowan. And if I could, I would have given you a prize if you could tell me her mother's name, which I won't be telling you. You have to guess it. You have to know it yourself, all right? So you know what? Mr. Nicholas is ready for me. So I'm going to get into some soca music and sort of kick back and relax and enjoy the fine weather that we have. Winter is kind of long. The fine weather that we're having, all right? So stay tuned. CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial. Soca music. This is DJ Nicholas.
90.3 FM. West Indian Rhythms. 90.3 FM.
That's us.